Thanks, Doug. However, there is a slight change of plan. Every now and again, you come to a service, you're a preacher, and you have something prepared, you've been preparing it during the week, and you're all ready to do it on the Sunday evening, and then you kind of get there and you realise, actually, this isn't quite the right occasion for this message. And I was going to get you to change the reading, but you gave such a great introduction to Acts chapter 2, I didn't have the heart to then go, can we have something different instead, really quietly. What I'd really like us to do is go to Mark chapter 4, and I'll give you the reasons why we're going to do this right now. So I'm going to get rid of these, because I'm not using these, so they can go there for a minute. Many of you earlier were at the tea for Fleur. Is Fleur still here? Where is Fleur? They're lovely, my Fleur. And I also heard from Doug and Coralie as well about moving on, hopefully for 6 months, hopefully returning in September. And I was thinking about this. We've missing as well Chris and Andy, who are also moving on. And I just really felt led to Mark chapter 4 and verses 26 to 29. And they're really encouraging verses for anyone who is interested in gospel ministry and the expansion of the kingdom of God. So I'm just going to read these. They're very brief verses. It'll probably be quite a brief message, to be quite honest with you, this evening. But it's quite hot anyway, so you're probably quite grateful for that. But Mark chapter 4, 26 to 29. Jesus is speaking. And it says, he also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces corn, first the stalk, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. And it's not perhaps the most well-known parable relating to seeds and seeds being sown. It's only found actually in Mark's Gospel. And we're perhaps more familiar with the parable of the sower, where the seed is going out onto different soil, and the focus is very much on the recipients, on the hearers of the word. But here the focus is very much upon the seed itself, and in a sense the power that is inherent in the seed as it goes out and as it grows. And the message then this evening, it is to Fleur, and it is to Doug and to Coralie, and it is to anyone who has taken that opportunity to sow the seeds of the gospel into people's lives and to encourage us to keep on doing it, because we never know exactly in what way that seed is going to grow. So in verse 26, Jesus is saying, this is what the kingdom of God is like. And that's what we're about, isn't it? We're about the service and ministering for the purpose of God's kingdom growing. And that is what we want to see. And we've had our Olympic slot of our top trumps, you know, various German supporters coming to the country, as there are from all around the world. And we think, you know, what a wonderful celebration, what a wonderful occasion. People from all manner of different kind of nations. But our heart, our desire, is that the kingdom of God will grow. And that people from all nations will come to know him for themselves. And Jesus says here in this parable that a man scatters seed on the ground. And although the parable is going to be about that power of the seed, nonetheless, Jesus says it still has to be sown. Okay, and the seed doesn't kind of pop out of its little bag and kind of pop along the road and then pop into some soil, and there it is, it's planted all by itself. The seed will do amazing things once it has been planted in that soil. But Jesus says the seed still has to be scattered. And that is our responsibility. That is what God has called each and every one of us to do. Wherever he has placed us, wherever he may be moving us on to, God has called us to seek to scatter the seed of the gospel into people's lives. And you know, we can do that in so many different ways. And it's not just about proclaiming the gospel. It's not just about explaining to people the details of the gospel. It can sometimes just be about living as a Christian and letting someone see what it is and how different it is, as we were hearing this morning, to live the Christian life. Sometimes it can be just about revealing to people the reality of God and who he is in the Bible. I remember for many years doing schools work and going in doing assemblies and lessons. And on one level, you feel very kind of a tied up in the things that you can and can't say. And you're going in doing an assembly and thinking, well, okay, I'm being able to say this, but am I really doing anything for the gospel? But I believe that even in those situations, even in a situation where you perhaps can't verbalize and actually encourage people verbally and say, look, you need to come to trust in Jesus, yet even in those situations, just by sharing the reality of God and showing something of our own testimony, in those situations still, we are sowing seeds of the gospel. I know that Fleur in her new job will be doing that, as well as in her service with her church. But that is what we are called to do. And we've had this opportunity with the Fun Day a couple of weeks ago, and we've had opportunities, I'm sure, coming up in the summer as well, where God will actually place us in situations where we are the ones who can scatter the seed of the gospel. And we can do that because we should have confidence in the power of the gospel to change people's lives. I guess the reason why we're often so reticent to talk to other people and to share the good news is because we don't often really expect anything to happen or anything to come of the words that we say. And if we're honest, we know that's true. We'll talk with someone, but we know that deep down inside, we don't really think anything is going to happen or anything is going on. And one of the reasons I really love this parable, so small and short as it is that it tells us that even though we may look at a situation, and even though we may look into someone's life, and we've maybe shared the gospel with them, and it seems like nothing is going on, this parable says that actually maybe something is. So in verse 27 it says this, night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. Okay, this sower of the seed, he has fulfilled his obligation, he's fulfilled his responsibility. His job is to get the seed into the ground. That's all this person can do. After that, it's up to the seed itself to grow and to sprout. And that is how it is with the gospel. All we can do is sow the seed. All we can do is just scatter it out into people's lives. That is our responsibility. But the gospel is the power of God transforming people's lives. Only he can cause that seed to grow. And so often it happens invisibly, below the surface. We don't realise anything is happening. And I'm sure for Fleur over many years with Spectrum, I'm sure with Doug and Coralie, with people that they've met, I'm sure it's true with all of us, that maybe there have been those people that we've been talking to over such a long period of time and it's just seemed like nothing. It's perhaps seemed like that seed that's been thrown out on the path. And they just seem as hard as ever against the gospel. Nothing seems to change. But we haven't seen what's really going on inside. And actually we can have that confidence that the gospel is powerful. It transforms lives. And it may not be immediate. We love things to be immediate, don't we? You know, I think I'm not a hugely impatient person. Sometimes I can be very impatient, as I'm sure we all can be. And we like things to be immediate. We like the now. And of course, when we share the gospel, we want people immediately to get down on their knees and repent and come to faith. And that'd be brilliant, wouldn't it? Absolutely fantastic. But it doesn't always happen like that. The seed that is planted can sometimes be planted for a long, long, long time before anything happens. And Doug and Coralie and Fleur, and for all of us here, there may be seeds that we have planted in a sense that we've perhaps even forgotten about. And we haven't even remembered we planted them. And we've just thought, okay, well, that's it. Nothing has happened. But at some time in the future, that seed will grow and it will produce fruit. That's what Jesus says in verse 28. All by itself, the soil produces corn, first the stalk, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. There is a result from it. And as I said, I guess so often we just don't expect there to be a result. But why do you plant a seed in the first place? I'm not much of a gardener. I get terrible hay fever, which I had it quite bad this afternoon. And thankfully, it seems to have gone off now because it could have been an interesting sermon, me sneezing my way through it. I try to avoid gardening as much as possible. But if you're a gardener and you plant seeds, why do you plant seeds? You plant seeds with the expectation, with water and loving care, and maybe talking to the plants if you really are into that kind of thing, but with the expectation that the seed will grow. You don't plant and then think, well, nothing's going to come of that. You have the expectation, I'm going to plant the seeds with the purpose, the expectation, the hope that something's going to grow from it. And that is how we should be when we sow the seed of the gospel. So often our faith can be smaller than a mustard seed. And it can be so tiny, and we have no expectation. Anything we say can possibly make a difference into someone's life. It may be for a number of different reasons. Maybe that person is someone we've been talking to again and again and again. Nothing. It may just be that their attitude just seems so hard towards God that nothing could possibly ever change them. It could be that we are in ourselves, you know, sort of think so little maybe of our own ability to share the gospel with others. And we think, well, I made a mess of that. They can't possibly want to become a Christian after listening to what I've just said. But I believe we should have an expectation that if we are sowing the seeds of the gospel, which is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, then we should believe that God will work in people's lives according to his will. And that is our hope, isn't it? And perhaps there are those of us who've sown the seeds of the gospel this past week, and hopefully we'll be sowing the seeds of the gospel this week to come as well. What is the expectation of what will happen with those seeds? We need to be praying. We need to be praying for those people. But what is our expectation level? Because God can change anyone. There's no one who's beyond the reach of God's grace. Anyone can be transformed by the amazing power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 29, Jesus says this: as soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. And harvest seems a long way away now, doesn't it? Not too far though, September kind of time, end of September. And I guess for most of us, yeah, we're not kind of really sort of clued into what a harvest is really like and sort of the hard work that comes with it. We're used to our food from the supermarkets. But a harvest, it is hard work. And a harvest, hopefully, if the weather is good, is a big harvest. And this is what Jesus is saying in verse 29. There is a harvest. Remember what Jesus says elsewhere in the gospel. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. We so often think that the workers are few and the harvest is few as well. But Jesus doesn't say that. He said the harvest is plentiful. The problem is it's with the workers. It's with the sowers. It's with the scatterers. There aren't enough people to go out and to scatter the seeds of the gospel. But there is a harvest, and the harvest, it is coming. It's great encouragement to see people who have been serving over so many years. I know for Fleur as well, to see so many people who have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ directly through her ministry. Many as well, I'm sure, indirectly. And as I said, I'm sure many to come who have actually been affected by something they heard in Spectrum or SOS, and it hasn't kind of struck them in their life yet, but it will do at some point in the future. And same with Doug and Corrie, just with the involvement that you guys have had in people's lives and just the care and compassion that you've had for people. And that makes a difference. That transforms people. It just gives people a different perspective on Christians and what the Church of Christ is really all about. People see the church so often as just being sort of down on people and kind of moaning and sort of grumbling and miserable. And it's certainly true to say that, you know, if people's example of Christianity is Doug and Coralie, then no one's going to think of the church as being grumbly and moany. It's going to be enthusiasm and excitement. And that's how we want people to see the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about positivity. It's about caring for people. It's about love. And when we do that, we are sowing the seeds of the gospel into people's lives. And as I said, there is that harvest that is to come. And I guess the thing about sometimes moving on in different stages of our life is we don't always see that harvest. So the seeds are sown and people move on. And people are sort of, in a sense, left behind. But of course, that day is coming when we are reunited, when we see the Lord face to face, and all of those who've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ for their salvation are together with him in glory. And we don't know exactly how that's going to kind of work out and exactly how well we'll recognise one another and whether we'll be able to, in a sense, know everybody who is there directly as a result of our ministry. I don't really know if that's going to be the case or not. I'd like to think so. But there is that time when we'll actually perhaps be able to see and actually be able to realise just the impact of seed sown into people's lives. And I guess the challenge for all of us here this evening is, are we doing that? What impact actually do we have on the place where we are? What impact do we have through serving in the life of the church here, the various different ministries, and also through our front line? If we were able at the end of our life to be kind of given a list, this probably won't happen, but if we were to be given kind of a list and say, look, these are the people. These are the people that through the seeds that you were sowing of the gospel throughout your life, these are the people who in some measure, some way or form, were led to the Lord through that. How long would your list be? Would it be kind of really small? Could you write it on a postage stamp? Would you need reams and reams of paper to write it down? What is the impact? What is the influence that you'll have on people's lives? Because ultimately, it is only the things that we do for the kingdom of God that have eternal significance. We do loads and loads of stuff, which is great and fun and enjoyable and pleasurable. We can do lots and lots of things to help other people out, which are great and which are right to do. But it is only the things of the kingdom of God that actually have eternal, lasting significance. It's only when we scatter the seeds of the gospel into people's lives that we're actually giving something to someone that will literally last forever. So are we doing that? We can praise God for Doug and for Coralie and for Fleur, for the others who are moving on, and for the ways that they've been sowing seeds into people's lives. But we also need to pray for ourselves, that we will take that responsibility seriously, that we will learn from their example, and they are great examples for us. Those people who've just been so enthusiastic and just had that heart's desire, week in, week out, to sow seeds, to share the gospel, and to have an expectation of a harvest to come. What I'd like us to do as we finish is maybe if just a few of us could pray. And it'd be good to pray for Fleur, and good to pray for Doug and Coralie, and also to pray for ourselves, that we will have that expectation that God will work in people's lives, and that there will be this great harvest, and we will see that, and we will have that encouragement of knowing that as well. So just a few pray, and then I'll close, and then we'll skip. Close your eyes while we skip through next week's sermon, and we'll then sing our final song. But let's pray. Amen. 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 Amen.
Lord God, be with each of us this summer. Give us wisdom and discernment to see the opportunities that you are putting before us, to share your word with others. Father, fill us with your spirit. Give us courage and boldness to speak truthfully about you, about Jesus Christ, your Son, and about the great plan of salvation that you have put into effect. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you that through your grace, you use people like us to share your word. And Father, as always already been prayed, I thank you for Fleur, thank you for Doug, for Coralie, thank you for Chris and Andy who aren't here this evening. And I just want to thank you for all of their service over the years, Lord, to sow those seeds into people's lives, into the lives of children, young people, adults, families. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll continue to give them the strength, Lord, that they need, and to keep giving that enthusiasm to daily be seeking out those opportunities. And Father, we pray the same thing for ourselves as well. Lord, so often you put opportunities in our path and we miss them. And Father, for that we ask your forgiveness. And Father, we thank you that it is your power that changes lives. It's not about how eloquent we are or how clever we are or how slick our presentation may be. But Lord, you just call us to give a simple message of salvation through faith. And Father, we pray you will help us to do that. And we do pray for each of us. We will have that encouragement of whether we will see something of the harvest that is produced. Not to bring any kind of glory or honour to ourselves, but to give all the glory and all the honour to you, because it is your kingdom and it is all for you and for your glory. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our great